Welcome to the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Oaks, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out our website at brummettchurchofchrist.org. Today's speaker is Dennis Hamilton. We invite you to take your Bible, study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may send them to Dennis Hamilton, P.O. Box 1066, Winnsburg, Kentucky, 40769, or email them to info@brummettchurchofchrist.org.
Thank you for joining us once again in our study that we have here at the Brummett Church of Christ. My name is Dennis Hamilton. I'm so thankful that you have chosen to, you know, study along with us, and I pray that you'll open up your Bibles and follow along. And if I get if I read the verses too fast for you, you know, write them down and look at them at your leisure. And if you'd like a copy of these verses right here concerning this lesson, you'll write me at P.O. Box 1066, Williamsburg, Kentucky, 40769. My name is Dennis Hamilton, and I'll be glad to send you a copy of that. But I'd like for you to kind of take a good look at yourself this morning. Now, I'm not talking about looking in the mirror and seeing if your hair is messed up or see if you're a woman, you know, you need to apply makeup or anything like that. No, I'm talking about ourselves spiritually speaking. Like the Apostle Paul mentioned over there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13 and verse 5, when he said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." In other words, you failed. You know, when we look at ourselves, we can see whether or not we are in the faith or we are failing. We can look at ourselves and see if we are a faithful Christian or if we are someone that's in a lost condition. And the standard that we want to look at and use is God's Word. It's not by, you don't go by what your neighbor has done. You know, I'm no worse than he is, or I'm no worse than she is. But no, we have to look at it in God's Word and abide by what He tells us, because this is what will count. These are the words we'll be judged by one day. And, you know, I know there's people out there that in this world today that don't believe in Jesus, don't believe in God. But one day they will believe, because when He returns, and He will return because God's Word says it, and it's impossible for Him to lie, they will have to give an account. And they'll be condemned because they have not believed in Him, the only Son of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His precious blood on that cross for our sins. But I want you to look at yourselves today and be honest with yourself. How do you see yourself? Just like Paul wrote there, examine yourself there. You know, this must be probably one of the most difficult things to do. You know, a lot of times we're not truly honest with ourselves. We'll overlook our faults and we'll kind of focus on other people's faults. And, you know, but that's not the way we're supposed to do. You know, Christ mentioned something to this over there in Matthew 7 and verses 1 through 5 concerning judgment. Now, some wants to read these verses and say, "Well, I can't judge at all." Yeah, we have to make a righteous judgment. You know, we have to make a judgment every day. We have to judge whether we're living for God or whether we're not living for God. We have to judge whether we are abiding by His Word or if we're following commands of man. You know, there's all kinds of different judgments that we make each and every day. But Christ was talking about this in Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, when He said, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with that what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." Now, He's talking about an unfair judgment, an unrighteous judgment is what He's warning against. It's not that we shouldn't make judgments. You know, there are plenty of times. But when you look over there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 5, we read about how that Paul told those people there at the church at Corinth that they needed to encounter, they needed to take care of a situation there that involved a man that was committing fornication. They were still fellowshipping with this man. He was committing fornication with his stepmother. And they needed to do something about it. They couldn't continue on that because this man was wrong. They had to make a righteous judgment, you see. And that's what Paul was calling on them to do. And this is what Jesus is calling for us to do here in chapter 7 of Matthew. And as we continue reading, he said there in verse 3, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Just like I was just mentioned there. You know, we'll see the faults of someone else, and it'll stick out like, like something huge, like looking at something huge in someone's eye. Their fault will, but we'll overlook something that we're doing that's even bigger. And that's what he is talking about here. Why do you consider the beam? Why don't you consider the beams in your own eye? Look at yourself. Examine yourself, just like the Apostle Paul was talking about. He says, "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?" How can you point out his faults and confront him on his faults when you have something that's even just as bad or worse? He said, he went on to say, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye." Clean up your own act. Clean up your own life. Now, you're not going to be faultless. You're not going to be sinless. Now, you can forget that, because as long as we're in this flesh, we sin. But he's saying, you know, correct the things in your life there so that you can speak to someone else to help them in their situation. And, you know, and all things, that is supposed to even be done with a loving attitude, that you only want the best for them, just like we would with our own children that are doing something wrong that needs a correction in it. We do it out of love. We don't want them to be harmed doing something that's wrong. We want them to grow up and be good citizens. We want them to be adults that are respectful and that will work with their own two hands. And, you know, we want the best for them, don't we? And that's what the attitude that we should have for others as well. But that's what Christ was talking about. You know, thinking of yourself, you know, saying, you know, I still think of myself as someone who's around 30 years old instead of entering retirement age. No, I'm not. I'm well past that age right there. And that's why I have to look at it in that same manner, though, being honest with myself. But consider the Pharisee and the publican that we read about over there in the book of Luke in chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. "And he spake this parable," now this is Jesus speaking, "unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now, look at those verses again real closely. The Pharisee, he was self-satisfied with himself there. If you'll notice in his prayer, there was no, "Forgive me, I've sinned," which we all do, and those of us that can pray, we should always ask for forgiveness of our sins. And he thought himself good and only saw, you know, those kind of qualities in himself. Notice, you know, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not like other men. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Well, I'm not even like this publican here. You know, publicans were looked down upon back at that time. They were tax collectors, and some of them rightfully so, because they were unfair. But this publican right here, we see that he had the right kind of attitude, though. You know, going back to that Pharisee, he said he didn't actively do anything evil. He trusted in himself that he was righteous. He despised others, though. He did not see his true condition, you see. He trusted in himself, his standard, rather than the standard that the Lord would have us to look at ourselves. But the publican there, he was one that had humbleness about him. There was a humility about this man. He was aware that he was a sinner. He was aware of it. You know, like he said right there. He said, standing afar off, the publican, he said, would not even lift so much of his eyes up into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He realized he was a sinner. You know, we all have weaknesses, don't we? And that publican, he was honest about it. He was upfront about it. He examined himself the way he was supposed to, just like Paul noted in 2 Corinthians 13:5. We all have our limitations too as well. He was justified in God's sight because he humbled himself and openly admitted that he was a sinner. Now, how do we see ourselves honestly? Are we honest with ourselves, or is our vision clouded? Are we doing like James said over there in the book of James in chapter 1, starting in verse 21? He said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Meekness, a humble attitude. And he goes on to say there in verse 22, but be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So yes, when you look into a mirror and you see your hair needs comb, but you just walk away and don't comb it. If you see that maybe you've got something on your face there and you didn't wipe it off, you just walk away, don't do nothing about it. And this is the comparison here that James is using there. When we look into God's word and we see that we need to correct something in our life, when we examine ourselves by these words right here, we should do something about it, shouldn't we? And be honest with ourselves. That's what James was talking about there. You know, and that's, you know, look at yourself. How do you see yourself today? What is your condition there? Are you a faithful Christian, or are you one that's lost? You know, look in God's word. Base it on that. Don't base it on man's ideas or anything else. God's word will tell you and show you if you're lost. And so, but something else too, how do others look at you? How do they see you? Do they see you as an honest person, a friendly person, a happy person, one that's willing to help out or things like that? And you know, in one sense, it does matter how people look at us, but in another, it doesn't. And the reason I say that is because maybe they're not looking at you in a fair and truthful way in accordance to God's word. Now, we are examples in that to others that are looking at us. We're supposed to be, as a Christian or as a good moral person, we watch our language. There's places we don't go because we can't go there as a Christian. There's movies we can't go see because we're a Christian. There's clothes that we can't wear because we're a Christian. You know, there's just so many different things in God's word that a Christian can't do. And some would say, well, see there, I can't have no fun. You can have a wonderful time being a Christian, the best of time, because for one thing, you know you're not being involved in these worldly sins that's going on in the world today. We see so many times as a result of that, because of the people that they're around and the things that they're doing, they end up in situations there that actually cost them their lives. And so that's why we're supposed to be a person there that will please the Lord and not please yourself. Don't be like that Pharisee. No, he was satisfied with himself. Self-satisfied. No, be the kind of person that satisfies the Lord there. Like Paul noted in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2, he said, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. In other words, you're just like the letter there. That's what an epistle was, that others have read, and they see your lives right there, and everyone sees it. as a Christian out here, sometimes we are living in a fishbowl, so to speak. People look at our lives and they'll judge us, and a lot of times it's not fair because, you know, we are human. We make mistakes. We're not going to live a perfect life. There was only one person that walked this earth that lived a perfect life, and that was Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But I have others, just like Paul noted again over in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." In other words, in everything. In word, in the words that we speak, and how that we act, and love, that's what charity is, and spirit, you know, our attitude about things, and how that, and our faith right there. Do we let others see, you know, and know about our faith? And, you know, and keeping ourselves pure and unspotted, just like James noted over there in James chapter 1 there, when he said there in verse 27, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from this world." You can't keep yourself unspotted if you're being involved in things that is sinful. You know, it's just like a mud hole out here. If you don't want the mud on you, you stay away from that mud hole, don't you? Sure you do. And that's the same way it is with the sinful acts out here in the world. You know, others should see us as like shining lights into the world. That's what Christ told us over there in Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, that's the most important thing, is our lives and how that we conduct them. Is it glorifying God? Is it, when others see that, they'll say, "That person right there is a Christian. They're living for the Lord. You know, praise the Lord." You know, I want to be too. I want to please the Lord too. That's how we let our light shine to the rest of the world there. We watch what we say. We watch what we do. And just like I said earlier, where we're going, the activities we involve ourselves in, the clothes that we wear, you know, there's things that we can't be a part of. And we can still have a wonderful and happy life. Happy because we know we are serving the Lord and doing His will. You know, Christ should be living in us. When we look over there in 1 Corinthians, if you will, and turn with me over there to 1 Corinthians 3 and about verses 16 through 17, you will see over there how that Paul made note of that there about Christ living in us. He said there, "Know you not," in verse 16, "that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." That's why Paul noted over there in Galatians 2, verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul was noting right there, and you know, if you have never read about it over there in the book of Acts, his previous name was Saul. And what he did there was horrible. He tried to stop the church, the Lord's church, the church of Christ, the one he purchased with his precious blood. He tried to stop it. He was even having people killed. And then when the Lord spoke to him there on his way on the road to Damascus, you know, from that point on, you know, he went and prayed for 3 days, but until a man named Ananias was sent from the Lord to speak to him, he told him, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins," which Paul did. So now his name was Paul, and he lived for the Lord. That's why he said right there, "I am crucified. The person I was put to death. When I obeyed the gospel, I no longer wanted to serve self. I no longer wanted to serve the devil. I was wanting to serve the Lord." That person has died. He said, nevertheless, you know, yeah, body-wise, physically, he was still alive. He said, but it's not me. But Christ liveth in me. And he said, "In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's the right attitude to have today. Live for Him because He gave His life for you. He took upon Him the price of our sins. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. So that means right there, we should have been put to death because of our sins. But Jesus Christ, thank the Lord, came down here, took upon Him our sins, and died on that cross. He paid the price. That's why when you think about that verse 23 of Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Lord and Savior took upon Him those sins, you see. Paul also noted in Philippians 1, verse 21, he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He knew that being in Christ and being a faithful follower of Christ, a faithful Christian, doing the Lord's will, that if he died, that was gain to him. He said in Colossians 1, 27, "To whom God would make known that what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." That's the one thing that Paul did at every opportunity, proclaiming the gospel to others so that they could also be obedient and be a Christian and one day have a home in heaven. But the most important thing I want to point out before our time runs out is, how does God see you today? You know, this is the one who really matters. You know, we might deceive ourselves and we'll deceive others. And all too often that happens. But God, it's what God has said. How does He look at you? Because He truly knows you. You know, over there in the book of Psalms 139, it says over there, you know, He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. Psalms 139, 1 through 4, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." God knew He knows all of our thoughts. He knows everything we've said, whether we were thinking it, whether we spoke it out loud. And something else about God, He's everywhere, as you read on through that Psalms right there, David. But, you know, he also pleaded for the Lord to examine his life also. He asked Him there in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He was asking for correction. That's what we need in our life today. Be honest, because you know the Lord knows. You can't fool Him. You can't deceive Him. The writer of Hebrews said over there in Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." You better be honest with Him because He knows all about you. You know, we can look into the mirror of God's Word, just as we saw there in James a moment ago, in James chapter 1, 21 through 25. But we need to do something about it when we see that there's corrections that needs there. And so that's why, you know, because He truly knows us. And that's why He will righteously judge us. His judgments will be righteous. They'll be fair. There won't be anything unfair about it. You know, in the man's courts today, sometimes things are not fair. People are convicted that are innocent. That won't happen with the Lord. And think about what Solomon wrote over in the book of Ecclesiastes over there in chapter 12 and verse 14. "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Yes, everything. Right now in your life, you're being judged by the Lord. Now when you die, or if Jesus Christ returns first, whichever one, on that day right there, it will be the execution. You're already being judged. You'll either be given a home in heaven for eternity, or you'll be given, you know, condemnation. You know, right now people think, well, when I die, you know, everyone dies right now, they go straight to heaven. No, they don't. That will come later on. That will only happen after Jesus Christ comes and on Judgment Day. Romans 2, verse 16 says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel," that judgment will be fair. It will be one that will not, no mistakes will be made, none whatsoever. And so I ask you once again, you'll examine yourself, just like the Apostle Paul said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. He said, you know whether or not you're in the faith. He said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? You know whether Jesus Christ is in you. You can know by God's word. You can know because God's word will reveal it. It will show you. Have you obeyed the gospel? You've heard the gospel. In this study we've heard this morning, hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized. When you do that, you have become a Christian. And then your life is to be dedicated from there on to living to the Lord. So how do you feel? How do you see yourself today? Not your opinion or anyone else's, only the Lord's. How does God see you? That's most important. Have you obeyed the gospel? Do you want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," one day? Obey the gospel. But if you don't want to obey the gospel, one day you'll hear the words, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I thank you for your time, and I hope we've went over a few things of interest to you. I pray that you will come and worship with us here at the Brummett Church of Christ, be able to sit down with you and answer any questions straight out of God's word. But at this time, I hope you have a good day.
Jesus, my heavenly King, bless me.